You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The rain and snowfall that hit California in the last 4 months will continue to challenge emergency services across the Central Valley. The record snowpack in the southern Sierra Nevada will begin to melt, with many farm communities ill-prepared for the potential flooding that is projected. The slow-moving disaster will challenge man-made levees and canals in the San Joaquin Valley and will inevitably cause some damage to the region, and that includes schools. According to EdSource, one out of five California schools are in areas of high or moderate flood risk, including many throughout the Central Valley. Helping to break down which schools are at risk and what's being done to reduce or even prevent damage to schools is EdSource investigative reporter Thomas Peel and EdSource equity reporter Emma Gallegos. Good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Good morning.
Emma, I want to start with you. You grew up in the Central Valley in Bakersfield. How was this winter season for you? Have you ever seen the amount of heavy rainfall that has affected that portion of the Central Valley before?
No, I can't remember the last time it was like this. I think 97, 98, that El Nino year is the one that came closest. But this is one for the record books.
When did you both start looking into this reporting and this investigation?
When the Tulare County started to get hit and Tule Lake began to fill, and there were a couple of poor communities down there that got washed out, I thought it was time to start looking at the FEMA data and determining how many schools in California were at flood risk.
Yeah, you bring up a really important point, because we've had conversations on Insight about the reemergence of Tulare Lake, the risks that are just associated with the basin and connected to other flood risks across the San Joaquin Valley. I mean, we know that these aren't isolated, right? I mean, and this is such a large region of California. Is there a general consensus, before we get into the specifics of school districts or certain areas that are more at risk than others, is there a general consensus that there will be some flooding damage that will happen in the coming weeks and months impacting schools, Thomas?
The consensus is yes, and it's more than some. It's inevitable. There's record snowpack in the Sierra, as we all know. And as one expert put it to us, it's like there's a cannon up there filled with water ready that's going to start firing when the snow melts. And the numbers, based on the amount of snow, clearly indicate that the rivers are going to be overwhelmed.
What metrics determine flood risk for schools?
Well, it depends where schools are built. And schools are often not built in the best places in communities. When you have more than 1,000 school districts in the state, many of them small, many of them rural, they often struggle to find the right land to build schools. They have to take donated land. They might not have the bonding capacity to buy the best land available. So many schools find themselves in low-lying areas where housing has not been built. That happened earlier this year to a school district in Merced County that was overwhelmed when a levee breached. So there are, as we reported, roughly 1 in 5 schools in California is at high or moderate flood risk, according to the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Mm-hmm. And that creates a host of problems, especially for small districts.
Emma, given that you're a journalist in the Central Valley and you grew up in Bakersfield, what do you want people to understand about the schools and school districts that are located in this portion of the state?
Yeah, I think it's important for people to understand, when we think of earthquakes, there's a lot of standards for schools to be built in a certain way, because schools are kind of like the community centers, particularly in a lot of these small towns. So when a disaster happens, you want that school to be safe and standing so that people can go there and get food and water and We've even seen in Alpaw Unified, which is near the Tulare Lake area, there was a lot of flooding, and the school was closed because the town was evacuated, but a lot of people were still going to the school to get their daily meals. So, you know, schools do play an important role, particularly in these like small rural communities.
Yeah, I mean, you talked to that community in Alpaw, but there's also the Fireball Las Deltas Unified School District. And I believe there, you know, six of the seven schools are at high risk flood territory. When you're talking to school district officials or school staff, what are they telling you about the concern of what's projected to come?
Yeah, I mean, they're very concerned. You know, they're trying to do the best that they can with the resources they have. They don't feel as well prepared as they could be. So, you know, I went to Fireball, which is a community in Fresno County, and they're right on the San Joaquin River, which is projected to have quite a bit of water coming into it. And Fireball's schools, just like the rest of the community, are right along the river. And you know, the levees are really weak in this area. So there's, you know, there hasn't been enough investment to, you know, to help both the schools and the rest of the town. And the schools, you know, when I talked to them, they were really starting to be well prepared for the idea of having to evacuate their schools and even evacuate their whole towns. I mean, in Fireball, the school district has all the buses in the region. You know, this is a small town. So the school is going to be who people turn to when things go bad. And yeah, so, you know, they've worked a lot on that. But Thomas and I, we've been talking to a lot of schools, and we found a lot of them find out that they don't have flood insurance. And so kind of planning for that next piece is something that the state hasn't really done a whole lot on this front. And schools are trying to figure that out as we speak.
Okay, so what goes into that? Why isn't there flood insurance, given that, I mean, this area is prone to flooding? This isn't the only wet year we've been through. There's 1997, there was even 2017 recently. I mean, what lessons were learned, and were any improvements made? Thomas?
Well, you know, flood insurance is a district by district decision, and it is not, there is no direct mandate that any school district have flood insurance. Sometimes small districts get together and form joint powers authority, which gives them more buying power, but this is an economic issue. Some districts self-insure, which means they take it on the chin when they have a problem. And it's, you know, it's all over the place. For instance, there was some flooding earlier this year in January in the Planeta Elementary School District in Merced County. It was the second time in 5 years that they'd endured a 100-year flood in a school that was built below grade. Hmm. When they had that flooding in 2018, they got relief from FEMA, and they got flood insurance that covered them for the flood earlier this year. There was a small district in Alameda County, not a place where we think of as a, you know, major flood area, that was very washed out in flooding around the first of the year. It was the Snow Glen district, a one school elementary school district. The superintendent didn't even know the district didn't have flood insurance because it was never an issue. And this was a district that was in a low risk area, according to FEMA. Hmm. But they had a stream near the school, and it became overwhelmed with rainwater. So in a changing climate and a changing environment, it's not just the districts that are at high or moderate risk that have potential problems now.
Yeah, and we don't even need to go that far back to understand that. I mean, you're talking about something that just happened a couple months ago. I mean, even in Monterey mm-hmm. County, in the community of Pajaro, there was massive flooding there. Classrooms were submerged. What are we learning about the toll and the impact that this ultimately has on education?
Well, I mean, when this happens, a building can be offline for a long time. In Pajaro, I was down there when State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tony Thurman, visited that school a couple of weeks after the flooding. And they had flood insurance. They were in a floodplain. They were near a levee. They made the good judgment of having flood insurance. The insurance adjusters hadn't been there yet. It had been weeks. Mold was now setting in. They were not allowed to do any cleanup until the adjusters could come in and make their estimates based on the damage. So they were in this holding pattern. And the water was gone, but the damage was there. And there was, you know, then they faced the additional cost and cleanup of mold. So it's, you know, it's a bad problem when it happens. There's no easy fix to a, as anybody that's had their home flooded knows, there's no easy fix to water damage.
And I understand that there's individual school districts in the state, but ultimately there is the California Department of Education. I mean, when we're talking about the flooding that is projected to come, I mean, we've had the Office of Emergency Services on talking about specifically the Tulare Basin. You know, we know what's going to happen in the next coming weeks and months. I mean, what role does the Department of Education in our state have to prepare schools and try to mitigate any damage?
They will help with damage. They are pretty good at helping get modular classrooms in the areas that have flooding. But, you know, this year there's also been, we've had this weather, these atmospheric rivers, and there's been not just the flooding risk of what's going to happen in the spring when the rivers are overwhelmed. There has been the daily issue that the Department of Education, with its limited facilities, resource people, have to deal with, which is when schools are snowed out, when there's massive rain that might not threaten to flood a building, but limits the transportation for people to get to school. So they've had to deal with the bad winter just like the rest of California has. You know, there's a school at about 7,000 feet in Alpine County that had so much snow on the roof, they had to evacuate the building. And the Department of Education has been helping that school in Bear Valley find an alternative place to have classes. So they've been, you know, overwhelmed by the weather and concentrating on that on a daily basis a little bit more than they've been, you know, planning for May in the Tulare Basin.
You know, Thomas, I mean, you're talking about an area that is, I mean, we're going from the Bay Area in Alameda County to the Central Valley to Monterey County along the coast. And now you're talking to us at Alpine with about Alpine County in the Sierra Nevada. So it really looks like pretty much there, it touches every corner of the state. What is your big takeaway?
No, the big takeaway is that we all know that the environment and the climate is changing. And there's going to be tough decisions for schools to make. And again, a lot of it comes down to money. There are schools that are built in floodplains that maybe should be moved. Maybe the school shouldn't be there. Maybe it should be elevated. But we're dealing often with one school districts or districts with just a couple of schools, elementary school districts, not a lot of bonding capacity, not a lot of resources and the ability to go build a new school on higher ground. So there's going to be tough decisions as the climate continues to change about the location of schools.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're speaking with EdSource reporters about the flood risk for schools in the Central Valley due to melting snowpack. Okay, Emma, we know that schools are so much more than just education. I mean, they provide food. They're a part of the community. When it comes to the Central Valley and when you're disrupting education, you know, to this level due to climate change and due to natural disasters, you know, what is the long-term impact and consequence? Because there are many communities in the Central Valley, incredibly diverse, also low income, and there's barriers, including language.
Yeah, absolutely. We should note that a lot of these schools that have been affected this year, you know, they're in a lot of areas that are they have high levels of poverty. A lot of these are areas where a lot of farm workers live. I'm thinking of Planada, I'm thinking of Pajaro, thinking of Alpa and Allensworth. And so these are communities that are already struggling on a day-to-day basis. These are not easy questions. We did talk to some experts. I'm thinking of Jeffrey Vincent at UC Berkeley, who said that, you know, the state could step up and, try to encourage some of these districts to get flood insurance and be better prepared. I was actually surprised when I went to Firebaugh, because this is a place that they have experienced some flooding in the past. They're right on the river. And I was surprised at how ill prepared the school was previously. So the superintendent in the district, I know they're working really hard right now, but I was surprised that the state hadn't stepped in and, you know, mandated some kind of flood insurance or mandated a stronger flood emergency plan. I think there is a role for the state to do more. Whether or not that will happen, we will see. But these are communities that are already, you know, really marginalized and don't have a lot of money and resources to begin with. So it'll be tough.
When it comes to that money and those resources, I mean, at the beginning of our conversation, Thomas, you mentioned that the infrastructure, the water infrastructure, isn't as strong as it could be. I mean, there are thousands of miles of levees across the state. I mean, even the Sacramento Valley is considered a flood risk area. However, the levees and flood mitigation in the Sacramento area seems to be a well-organized system. How does that compare to the water infrastructure and flood protection in the Central Valley?
You're correct, Vicki, that the Sacramento area is better prepared than the Central Valley for, you know, the inevitable floods that California is going to face this year. I mean, in the lower Central Valley, in the Tulare region, in the end, it's a question of whether nature is going to win. I mean, Tulare Lake was huge. It was the biggest lake in the United States west of Salt Lake, and the agricultural industry wanted that bottom land, and the lake was drained and it took it. And there's, you know, anybody who's familiar with the writings of the great journalist Mark Arax knows there's a river down there that was engineered to flow backwards, and that levees and canals are all over the place. And it's agriculture first, flood safety somewhere behind that. We're also coming off these years of drought, and no one seems to worry that much about levees when there's not much water behind them. Mm-hmm. And as one levee expert told me, droughts are bad for levees because they dry out. They become more brittle in the heat. And that's, you know, clearly what happened in Merced County in January. So, the ground zero for this really is going to be the Tulare Basin. And it's not as prepared perhaps as it should be. There are more than 30 schools in Tulare County itself that are at high flood risk. There's a majority of the schools in Visalia that are at high flood risk. And frankly, the response we got from the Visalia Unified School District wouldn't create a lot of confidence that they are highly prepared for this.
Emma, I want to end with you. What do you hope listeners take away from this conversation and the work that you and Thomas did?
I think that people should know, one thing I'd love to direct your listeners to our site. We have this fantastic map that shows flood risk all throughout the state. You can use that whether you're interested in schools or not. But I think it's important for everyone to be educated about the flood risk that we face, especially in a year like this. But this won't be the final year that we have something like this if we're having 100-year floods just, you know, within 5 years. For everyone to check out what is their flood risk, what is their flood risk for their local schools. And also, I think just thinking about what the state can do on a broader level to address some of these issues, because they're not They're not going to go away.
Emma and Thomas, thanks for the time.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for the work. Emma Gallegos is an equity reporter at EdSource, and Thomas Peel is an investigative reporter also at EdSource. And they're sharing their reporting, which found 1 out of 5 California schools are in areas of high to moderate flood risk. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.